So those who are in the army a few years back, you would know what this tin is. Let me do that. Ammo crate, 7.62 tracer rounds. Anyone remember? The one shooting in the nighttime, you can see where you're shooting at. They generally, who's ever started to preach like that before? Like, hey, check out my ammo box. Anyways, tonight we're going to have some fun. So I love shooting stuff. So the biggest round I've ever shot by myself was the 50 cal. This is a 50 cal round. A few years back, I went for my birthday. A few of my friends, the gun's like 30 kgs. It's massive. The muzzle blast was magnificent. It's like literally if you stand, it just hits you like a freight train. Like we were like trying to creep forward, but we were really scared. And on this particular occasion, I hit my mark. I actually hit the target. It was a clay pigeon, you know, like those orange things at 120 meters, which is like this big. And it, kaboom, and it was fun. So I turned this into a bottle opener because I thought, it's so cool. How many people can say that they've shot a 50 cal round and then turned it into a bottle opener? Anyways, but then I thought that was big, you know, that was big. And then I came across this bad boy. And then this thing is... So no, I've never shot this before, but I believe they shoot these out of the sides of helicopters sometimes. And it's so powerful that the helicopter kind of, when they, you know what I'm talking about, like doof, doof, and then the helicopter kind of goes backwards. And you don't want to be hit by this thing. Like you definitely don't want to, you don't want to be, I mean, these things were designed to stop vehicles like through the engine block and that. So this thing was designed to, I don't know what it was designed to, cause chaos and mayhem. Anyways, destruction. Someone said that. Peter said that. But then I came across this bad boy, artillery round. And they say size doesn't matter. This thing will cause chaos. So this is probably shot from an artillery round, 1942, can't be. Maybe it's from World War II. Anyways, this thing will sort you out. For sure. Like, I know. Are we nervous yet? Yes, we are. I'm nervous. Bazooka. Yeah. Tank, come through the door. Anyways, so there's a point to this thing. So then I brought some guns. I know, is it frowned upon to put guns into the church? I'm not sure, but I'm going to. So I brought a couple of guns. You guys are freaking out. I bought three guns with me. I need three volunteers. Like three. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. You get the gun. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. That's your gun? That suits you. It's like maybe. That's got a little bit of pink in. Who likes pink? That's got a little pink. Wow. You guys don't even know. Game over. I mean, if your gun says game over, the bad guys are in trouble. You know what I'm saying? So you can have the game over one. And this is, you don't even know what you got yourselves into yet. You guys, this is seriously dangerous for you guys. So, I didn't steal these cups from the coffee shop area. Sorry about that, coffee shop people. Borrowed. I don't think we're going to be able to. So, what we're going to do is, I want to do something here. So, I'm going to put out some of these things as targets. So, let's do this. Maybe you guys, why are you just standing there looking cool and stuff? Put these things out and as targets, you three. And then I want to... Get your bullets, anyway. You know, just all over the stage. Okay, so you each get eight shots. There, take some shots. There we go. Wow, the girls. Let me open up for you. Okay, so what I want you to do is, you just rip the back. Oh, there we go. Yeah, just rip the back and then. Okay. So, this is exciting. You have been given power. Just remember, Spider-Man's uncle said, with great power comes great responsibility. So, okay, so if you can, let's start. So if you guys can step, like maybe stand where the people are. Okay, load your little awesome guns. Stand where the people are. And then,
did you taste this?
No, I didn't. I hope it works. Just pull it back. You just pull this thing. Yeah, there we go. I bought them brand new. They're brand new. I took them out the boxes just before I came. So, can you guys spread out, just aim for the top of one of the top of the cups and then just shoot from where you are? Okay, go for it. You can, any in your own time, Oh, you guys are bad. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. And that poor sound person. Okay, go. You can do it. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you got to go one step back or two steps back now. You guys, all the promise of running up so fast, and then you, I am not wanting to be on your team. Oh, dear. Okay, let's see. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like, okay, yo. Wow. I'm flabbergasted at how bad you are. Oh, injured, injured. Wow. Okay, you guys, come on, guys. You can do just like one. Oh, no, no, don't shoot your sister in the face. It's not a good idea. Oh, my goodness, you children. Yay, yay. How exciting is this? Oh, wow, he is just going for it. Wow, lower. Come on, just, yes, now you're holding the gun better. Yes, close. Oh, my, oh, that was very close, dude. Okay, you guys are, now you got to pull the tree up. There we go. Please hit something. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you participation points, but not, you guys can keep the guns. They're yours for a happy birthday. Someone's birthday today. You can, oh, wow, they're just going for, you're only allowed 8 rounds each, okay? My goodness. Yeah, 2 of those, I'm sorry about that. Yeah, my bad. Okay. So, you please don't shoot people while the preacher's going on. Like, you know when you're in the movies and it's boring and you're throwing popcorn at each other? Don't do that. So, you might be thinking, what the, are you on drugs? Maybe, I don't know, it depends on what drugs are. So last week we spoke about how the Spirit of God fills us. And then, so like remember we had the balloons, for those who weren't here, I'll just give a quick, we had the balloons and there were things, different things in the different balloons. And then I lit a candle thing. And those kind of things, like if it was relationships, we had money, we had games, fun things, we had dice. We had a whole bunch of stuff. And as soon as the pressure came and we put the balloons over the flame, they always popped. And then there was a balloon with water in it. And like a disaster waiting to happen. And like I can check, we're bringing the balloon closer to the flame. And everyone's like, oh, but guess what? The water disperses the heat in such a way that it doesn't pop the balloon. And I tried to pop it. How many of you guys are like, I wanted that thing to pop like at the end there because we're... And so the point of last week was the Holy Spirit, the living water, we sang a little bit about it this afternoon again, is when the living water is in us, and we looked at Psalm 1, it's like the streams of living water help us overcome all these things. Tonight, I wanted to build on that a little bit with a topic that's not that popular, but I try to make it fun with shooting stuff, but they didn't really shoot stuff. That was a bit awkward. And the word that we want to look at tonight is the word sin. Ooh. And so if you look at the word sin, it's used in the New Testament, in the NIV, it's the word sin is used 786 times. Okay, so it's a big topic. And the meaning of sin is very simple. If you look at the word in the Greek, it just means this, to miss the mark. And so it was actually demonstrated beautifully tonight. So well done. You guys did something cool. It's aiming at something and shooting. In those days, it would have been bow and arrows because they didn't have guns in those days. But it's getting a target. It's aiming at the target and it's missing the target. That's what sin basically means. It's to miss the target. And so I want to look at that tonight very quickly. So the first question that came to mind was, okay, so if it's missing the target, who misses the target? And fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your dispensation, Romans 3 verses 23 says this. For everyone, can you guys say everyone?
Everyone.
For everyone has sinned. Oh no. Okay, so every single person has missed the mark. Ooh, that's awkward. But it maybe gives us hope, because if we're all missing the mark, at least we can help each other. You know what I'm saying? If you guys practice enough, next week you could actually hit something. We all have fallen short of the glorious standards of God. So, sin is this. It's missing the standards of God. God has very high standards for our lives and for our hearts and for our minds and for the way we live. Very high, almost impossible, actually. So think about that. So like when we're trying to live an impossible task, the thing about sin is we're going to miss the mark. I love shooting stuff. I love blowing stuff up. I train a lot shooting guns. I train a lot. We actually, Warren and I went shooting yesterday. I took some videos, but then today I was going to play them, but then I thought it's maybe going too far. So I was like, maybe I'll show you guys sometimes. And we were doing moves. We were moving. We were shooting from cover, out of cover, running forward, getting on our knees, reloading. We were jamming up. I shot really bad yesterday. I'm like, what is going on? I'm training so hard to shoot well, and then I suck because there's a little bit of pressure or my heart rate's a little bit up. But the point is, every single one of us that has ever lived, man, woman, boy, girl, English, Afrikaans, it doesn't really matter, we're all missing God's standard, which is a sucky way to start a preach, but it is. You need to understand something about our hearts and our minds. Is there's a war within us. And I want to read what Paul says in Romans 7. It puts this war into perspective. It says this, and I'm reading from the NLT. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. So what's been happening here is Paul was a Jew, and he was a very good Jew. He was a Pharisee, actually, and he was a good teacher of the law, and he had good training. And the law actually, the sin led to him not understanding the law very well, and he actually started persecuting God and his people. And so he's going, so the trouble's not with the law, because people are like, well, the law is bad and stuff. The law isn't bad. The law points to how bad we are. And he thought he was doing well. He thought he was doing the right thing, but in actual fact, he wasn't actually where God wanted him to be. So that's just a little context. The trouble is with me, for I'm all too human, a slave to sin. So what he's saying there is, we blame God, we blame the law, we blame the institution, we blame our leaders, but actually the fact of the matter is we're missing the mark because I am a sinful person. That's quite a humble position to take. Can we go to the next scripture? I don't really understand myself. Who's felt like this? It's like, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Who's ever been there? Like, you know what is right. You're like, come on. But then you do the opposite. It's like this war inside of us. It's like, and it makes us feel, and it makes us feel like we're losers. And it makes us feel like we don't want to come to church. And we don't want to push in. And we don't want to be accountable. And it just has this horrible kind of, Paul felt the same. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So that's pretty significant. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good, because the law points out. So I'm not the, okay, this is, we've got to be very careful here. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is the sin, it is sin living in me that does it. Okay, pause. That is not saying that we can go sinning because it's not me, it's the sin inside of me, so I can do whatever I want. That is not what the scripture is saying. I want to be very clear. It's not giving us, I know. I was saying it for you. I was looking that way so that I wouldn't make it awkward. But it's not saying that. He's saying that he knows what he needs to do. He loves the Lord with all his heart, but he's just doing because there's a sinful war inside of him. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. And I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Who feels like that sometimes? Often, I'm like, he puts it in such a beautiful way, right? He's talking about just, I'm missing the mark. And then he goes on, some hope for us. Thank God. It's like, everyone's like, oh, it's tanking. It's supposed to be a kid's, like, devotional talk. What are you doing, Brett? And then it's like, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. And I want to just make a blank statement. I think we all fit into this quite significantly, actually, if you think about it. So everybody has missed the mark. There's this war going inside of us every single day. But there is a hope, and his name is Jesus. Are you guys still with me? Okay, Kev. You guys just want to shoot stuff, eh? Yeah, I know it. I'm watching Junior in the corner of my eye there. He shot me once, you know what I'm saying? So we need to realize something. When we deliberately miss the mark, and I want to start moving towards this, there's a way of missing a mark, but not deliberately. I think there's a difference. If we're deliberately missing the mark, there's a problem. If we're really trying to live for the Lord, and we're really trying to uphold His standard, if we're really pushing into Him, if we're really getting into the Word, if we're trusting in the Holy Spirit, if we're accountable with our lives, I think there's grace for us. The problem comes in is when we know, in James 4:17, I think it is, he writes and he says, if we know what is right and don't do it, we're sinning. So sin, missing the mark is not doing something bad necessarily. It's actually knowing what is right and not doing it as well. And so we need to understand something about sin and missing the mark. In Romans 4, verses 4 to 5, Paul writes this. He says, when people work, their wages are not a gift, but something that they have earned. So get what I'm trying to say here. So when you work and you get a salary, what is that? It's not a gift. It's not a freebie. It's you've given your time and you've been compensated for your time or your skill or the energy you put in, right? You guys are on the same page as me. Yeah. Okay. Jump to Romans 6:23. Paul says this, the wages of sin is death. So when we keep on missing the mark, and it's deliberate, we're earning death for ourselves. Does it make any sense? It's like, are you guys still with me? It's like, and then we blame, so we're working really hard to get death, and then when things don't go our way, what do? We blame God. How can you let this happen to me? Or even worse, we blame the devil. Oh, the devil made me do it. I'm sure there was a lot of people that said the devil made me do it over the years. But in actual fact, that's not the truth. The wages of your sinning is killing you. It's not God. It's not the devil necessarily. And I think there's a big difference here. Temptation is one thing. Falling into it is a whole other thing. Because Jesus was tempted in every way possible, yet he did not sin. Does it make sense? So a lot of us are working really hard. Because we're really working hard and missing the mark. And then we're trying to blame God and people and everybody. But it's actually what Paul said. It's the things I don't want to do, I do. And I think the cool thing about understanding missing the mark and understanding this word called sin is once you take responsibility, once you realize and you actually say, I'm guilty, you know what happens? Freedom comes. You might be going, oh, what are you talking about? So the world says guilty is a bad thing. But God in his kingdom actually says guilty is a good thing. What do you mean? What do you mean, Brett? You're making me confused now. Well, I mean this. Because when we realize we are guilty, that's when things can shift. When we realize, flap, my heart is at war. Oh, my mind has to be renewed. It's almost like pride dies and grace comes, because if it's impossible and we can't do it on our own, then someone else has to help us, right? So let me use an example. Billy Graham, who is probably the best evangelist of our ever, besides Jesus and maybe Jonah, because Jonah did well. He did like 180,000 people in like 3 days. It was pretty good, you know. And then you get Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was on his way to a crusade once, and he was rushed, and he got caught speeding in one of the southern towns, and the cops stopped him and said, "Look, we're going to have to fine you, but you also have to appear in court the next day because you've overstayed the speed limit." So anyways, he did his crusade, came back, came to the courtroom, and the judge was like, "Billy Graham, are you guilty of speeding in my state?" And he said, "I'm guilty. I'm unguilty. I was on a rush. I'm so sorry." And what happens next is phenomenal, actually. The judge then goes, Billy Graham the evangelist, yes. He's like, "Okay, because you've pleaded guilty, there's got to be a consequence. There's got to be a fine." And so he takes out his wallet, and I think it was $10 in those days. He pays for Billy Graham's ticket, and then he takes him out for a steak dinner. It's a true story. And I think that's a beautiful picture of Jesus. It's like when we admit guilt, and if you go read it, he was like, "Guilty. I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm messed up." When we admit guilt, that's when God can go, "Actually, I'm going to pay for you. And more than that, I'm going to give you a steak dinner, man. I'm going to show you the glories of my awesomeness." Yeah. Does it make sense? It's like, rather than the wages of sin. Sure. I think we need to realize this about missing the mark. We've got to take it serious, guys. In James 1:15, these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And in this day and age we're living, we don't call sin sin anymore. We don't say we're an adulterer. "No, I just messed up sexually." No, you're an adulterer. When we steal something, or when we hate someone in our hearts, it's like we're killing them, Jesus says. If we look at a woman lustfully with our eyes, we become an adulterer. Adulterers on the list of people that don't get to heaven. You realize that? Like, It's a big deal. And I think what's happened in a society, we've watered down the depravity of our own hearts. And even as Christians, we've done that. And if we do that, we miss the sense of God's grace and mercy, love and salvation. We actually dull it down. Does it make sense? It's like when we see the gravity of our sinfulness, it actually shows the gravity of God's mercy and grace. Is that a bit hard? Maybe. But remember, if we give these desires, if we allow them to grow, they eventually lead to death. And maybe not eternal death for some, because there are some scriptures that say there are sins that lead to death and others that don't lead to death. But I don't know if I want to take that chance. And I don't want to just scrape into heaven smelling like hell. Because there are scriptures that talk about that too. I want to get into heaven, and Jesus goes, "Well done, good and faithful son." Does it make sense? It's like, but it's like if we keep on watering these things down all the time, we're not actually going to step into the fullness, and we're going to get very frustrated. So I'm going to start ending, because I'm very aware the kids are with us, and you guys are doing great again. In 1 John 2, and it's going to get some hope coming in here. 1 John 2, verses 2, 1 and 2. John's writing, it's just chapter 1. Go read it for yourself. It's so beautiful. They're talking about how glorious Jesus is, and they've seen him with his own eyes and all these amazing things that he's done. And he says, "Dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin." So he's going, this is who Jesus is. Read what I'm saying so that you won't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father, and he is Jesus, the one who is truly righteous. And so I believe that there are two types of missing the mark. There's spontaneous missing the mark, and there's spectacular missing the mark. Spontaneous is, I'm really, God, Jesus, I am trusting your Holy Spirit to live the standard that is above my ability, and I'm trying with all my heart, and you're really going for it, and then you mess up a little bit, and you're like, okay, I'm not going to let it grow. I'm not going to let it take control. I'm going to keep on moving forward. I think Jesus is our advocate then. He stands before the Father, and that's my boy. He's fighting through it. And you're going to miss the mark. Remember, sin, we're going to miss the mark as much as we train. And you guys got to train more because you sucked really bad. Yeah, not each other. But then you get spectacular sin, which is, you know it's wrong. You know it's bad. You know that Jesus is not happy. You know it's killing, and you just decide to do it anyways. I think there's that line, and I don't know where God, it's his prerogative, but there's that line that you don't want to play on that side of the... Oh, remember, we were going back to last week. We want the living water in us. We want to be that balloon that doesn't pop under pressure. We want to have the Spirit of God living in us. So I'm going to start ending with this. I've got two more scriptures, and then I'm going to give you a gift. Well, I don't know if it's I think it's a gift, but you know, maybe we'll see. Oh, this time you didn't trick me. I saw you. For those who are visiting, a few weeks back, I was like, I didn't see Lindy get up there. And then I heard music. I thought the angels were here. I got so excited. And then I turned around. But now I got her this time. She didn't. So I'm going to start landing with this. There's one person that's ever lived that's never missed the mark. And his name's Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, this is just such a beautiful picture of God's love for us. So get it from the perspective of missing the mark. So for God made Christ who never sinned. So think about this. So Jesus, his son, came and walked this earth. He never missed the mark, not once. He never hurt God's heart. He never did anything that he wasn't supposed to do. Jesus, he was perfect. He's the one we look to. He never missed. He never sinned. To be an offering for our sin. So get this. Jesus came as our Savior. Perfect. Yet, God, in his wisdom, took the one perfect being and he took our sin. He took all our missing the marks. Every time we've looked at porn, every time we've been horrible to our wife, every time we've stolen something, every of the little guy's sweets. One of my kids, I'm not going to mention names, did something naughty the other day. I never looked at you. You looked at me. It was Wesley. He's not here. Everything. Think of the worst version of yourself. Like the worst of Brett. Jesus never did that. But he took the consequence of the worst of who I am. The worst of my thoughts. The worst of my tongue. The worst of my attitudes. And he took that. And he died, and he took the cha and the disease of that and the ramifications of not going to eternity forever and ever and ever. He took that. Every single person that's ever lived, including you. Oh, it's gone. I was getting into it, and then I went away. Please come back. Please come back. There we go. He took that upon ourselves. He took us missing the mark upon, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is power. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we have hope today. Yes, we're going to miss the mark. But Jesus took that punishment on himself. Just like the judge did for Billy Graham, actually. Man, I'm going to pay for you. I'm going to take you for a steak dinner too. Come on. And so as we close, I want to give you a takeaway thing. The ice cream tub is back from last week. You don't have to take one if you don't want. But I've got some spent shells. These are 9mm rounds that I shoot through my handgun. If you want, you don't have to take this. I want you to take one as a gift. And you might think this is a cheap gift. Every shell is R2.50 now, I think. Okay, so this is a lot of money I'm giving away. That's why we picked them up, hey, Warren. Yesterday, we shoot, and pick up. We even took other people's ones that didn't take theirs. Anyways, that way and this way. Actually, what we should maybe do is make it go quicker. Let me, can you throw some in some cups and just pass them around? You don't have to take them, but you're welcome to if you want. You're right there, dude. You need some more cups? Thank you. Is that a shiny one or not a shiny one? I haven't cleaned them yet. So it's like, don't put them away. Don't put them. You need them. You need them. Okay. Can I take one, eh, Junior? I'm checking you out, bro. A shiny one. Smell it. Smell the gunpowder. I love gunpowder in the morning. Like yesterday, Warren and I were like, yo, we love the smell of gunpowder in the morning. Just be patient. I've got a point to this ending. Push the primer out. Yeah. It's hard to do without a primer pusher thing. I don't know, the deprimer, whatever they call it. Cool, so everyone got close. I think I have enough. I put in like 200 or whatever. Because you never know. Like some people might take more than one, and then like someone's left out, and then everyone cries. It's terrible. Awesome. Okay, so can you take the round? Or it's not a round. It's a shell. Can you look at it? Has everyone got? Okay. So if you're looking at it, what that means is it's been shot. The bullet is gone. There's a high possibility. Oh, they haven't got. Okay, we'll get. There's a high possibility I've missed the target. So the spent shell is a symbolic thing of us possibly missing the target, right? When we miss the target, we need to realize this. So look at it. Every time we've missed the target, we need to understand something. Firstly, we've sinned against God when we've missed the target. We're not sinning against each other. We're sinning against God. We mess up. Has everyone got? Or is it jingling behind? Oh, there we go. You can put on your keyboard. Beautiful. Thank you, Marco. You're an awesome guy. And normally what happens is the consequences of us sinning against God is we have fallouts with each other, actually. That's how it works. We fall out with God and then fall out with everybody else. Do you not have one, babes? Oh. Okay. So check it out, and I want you to ask yourself a question. Like, where am I falling short right now? I think it might be heart conditions. It might be, for the younger guys, you're not disobeying your parents. It might be, I don't know, whatever. But doing bad business, not being faithful. You know what's right, and you just keep not doing whatever it is. Just look at that round. And if you want to, get your heart to the place where you like, God, I've actually messed up against you first. I wanna acknowledge that. And then I want you to say to him, like, I want to commit to you tonight, Lord, that I'm going to trust you to help me not fall short in this area from this day forward. And David, King David, he was one of the greatest kings that's ever lived, one of the greatest warriors that has ever lived. In Psalm 51, he says this. And as I read the psalm over us, if anything stands out to you, take it to heart and speak to the Lord. He says this, Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Even as you're looking around and you're doing work with the Lord and you're realizing, look, I'm missing the mark here. How cool is it to say, blot out the stain of my sins? And he goes on in verse 2, wash me clean from my guilt. By looking at that thing and going, God, I'm guilty, that it doesn't have to hold us back. It can actually push us forward. Purify me from my sin. For I have recognized my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will prove right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb. teaching me wisdom even there. And then he goes in verse 7, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give back to me my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. And that's the point of tonight. I don't want to leave here going, oh, we're morbid. I want to leave here going, we have joy. We have purification. We've been washed clean. We go out rejoicing. Verse 9, don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God. Okay, no one hopefully has shed blood yet, but O God who saves, then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. And seal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth will praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, nor would I offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls again will be sacrificed on your altar. Father, as we contemplate just our humanness and your awesomeness, our failings and your holiness, that you don't desire us to sacrificially live. You are the sacrifice. You just desire us to be submitted to you, Father. May we leave this place tonight just invigorated with hope that we're going to mess it up. We're going to mess up. We're going to miss the target sometimes, no matter how hard we try. But with your Spirit living in us and you changing our hearts from day to day, Lord, we'll be men and women who reflect the glory of our King that we serve. That you'll give us hope and joy again tonight. That we'll all look a little bit more like you.